I'm new, sorry. Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone out. Jacob asked me yesterday some questions about what I'm going to talk about. And I said, well, how long should I talk? Should I talk an hour? He says, no. You need to talk 3 hours because we need to learn. So if this goes longer than expected, it's a six-year-old's fault, not mine. So anyway, I'm going to do a check real quick, make sure. Nope. 1 second here. There we go. Okay, so our scripture this morning, thanks Bill for that. We're going to talk about communicating with love. And this has been an idea of mine since for a long, long time. I don't, as most of you know, I don't preach regularly. So this was something that's been on the mind. And I've used sections of this lesson at times for my invitations throughout the year. So you might notice a few items that sound somewhat familiar. But I assure you, it's probably a duplication at some point in the last 10, 11 years since I've been here. But I chose communication as a topic because in some ways it's going to affect all of us. The goal is for someone to not leave here going out, that didn't have nothing to do with me, so that wasn't for me. So since I am such a good communicator, and I am an expert in communications, and I say that sarcastically, and I'm smiling for those of you that might be listening to this on the recording, I felt that, you know, it makes perfect sense for me to do the lesson on communications. None of us are perfect at communications. All of us need something that we can do to improve on in some ways. And I'm going to talk about that not only from a perspective of us doing the communicating as far as talking directly to someone, but also a little bit of the other side of understanding and translating what's being communicated. So we'll get into that this morning. So I will do my best to speak slowly. I have been told by a few people I speak fast, and I will do my best to slow down and not say that too fast. That has something to do with my culture and upbringing, which we're going to talk about as well. And the examples that I have today are from my experiences with Christians from all over where I've lived. So if you find some of them interesting or seen the same thing, that we might have seen the same thing. So we'll look at that. So with that being said, does everyone know who you are by your communication? And what I mean by that is many years ago, the congregation I was worshiping in, we had we're trying to establish elders, and one of the members decided to call the workplace of the one of the people who were their names were forward, and the people there couldn't even believe that this person went to church. Based on their behavior. I mean, they're like, they had a lot of questions. Like, that guy goes to church? And then, you know, so as we look and live our lives, do people know who we are? Going by verse 35, do people know that we're Christ's disciples by how we communicate with one another? So let's go ahead and we'll talk about that a little bit. So our communication challenges. Now, we have a lot of challenges throughout. I'm going to mainly talk about our culture here in the United States, but we'll bring into some multicultural things as well. But part of our challenges with communication is we often don't know that we're doing whatever it is we're doing. We don't know that we're falling short in whatever that is. So what I mean by that is all of us have different language skills or abilities. Some of us have certain accents. Some of us have certain understandings. All of us have an ability as far as our language. So that's an interesting thing that we got to deal with. Our past experiences. Some of us have a lot of years of experiences. We're all different ages. I think we're up to around over 80 years old. We have that old of people here and that young of people, newborn. So there's a lot of experiences that all of us have went through in different parts of the country where we lived, or world, or congregations, that give us a perspective of why we communicate the way we do on some of those things. That could be things like we were raised in the church for air quotes, new converts perhaps, and some of that we try to either correct or make sure we know by learning from the history and our own personal history. Some of us have a lot of emotions or prejudices, and what I mean by prejudices is anything you think should be a certain way. This might be the older to the younger, the male to the women, the child to adult. There's a lot of things we can talk about there. Judgment, judging the situation or judging others. Interrupting or bad manners. Some of us have different cultures we come from where something might be considered interrupting, other things may be considered, that's just how we talk. And I've used that example from where I grew up in the North. The North and the South have two different conversation pieces, right, wrong, and different. There are different styles there. Not actively listening, which we'll talk about as a skill. We're too busy, or we have it's bad timing. So we're not going to, you know, we don't communicate as well. Arrogance. We'll talk a little bit about that. Social conditions of whatever that might be, whether that's a social environment if we're somewhere, and also was brought up in the class this morning, fear. Maybe we're scared to say something to someone that because of our social interactions and those type of things. And then going to the next part of this, ignoring our issues, avoiding our concerns. We have our own internal values and beliefs that ties a little bit into our past experiences. And then frankly, some of us are just lazy and we don't care to improve our communication. So that's another one. Sometimes we're quick to react and not deliberate the issue. Those of us who are, I'll put men in this and myself, I want to solve a problem. So if you come before me, you're like, hey, the whatever, okay, let's go get that. I may not even communicate effectively to know what the problem is because I just want to solve it. So we'll talk about that. Limiting our perspectives, any preconceived ideas, our overall communication skills, as some of us have been trained, and I use the word training, at our jobs or our families, and how to communicate certain ways. Some of us have not. Some of us have been trained or been taught certain things. Others have not. So something to be aware of. And then also our gender differences. And this is across multiculturals. For those of us who've we've been talking about other countries, different age groups. I know my mother, who is older than me, will have stories from her childhood that would, I couldn't imagine it happening now. And her father was born in 1902. So it gives you a little bit of the differences in how things have changed. So we're going to talk about some of these things relatively quickly, but in certain categories. So written communications. So written communications is anything written down, basically. Anything and everything written down. If you notice, when you get to this, it says telegrams. Telegrams are still available. They're $23 to start and 79 cents per word. I found, before I put it on the slide, I double-checked it all. And I say that because we have a lot of options. There's a lot of things that we can do with our written communication. Just this morning, we've had some written communications in the manner of our bulletin. Text message, chats, other things that we have. So we're going to talk about it. I started with this one because ultimately I considered this one of the easier ones of the day as Adam started some of this a few weeks ago with our digital lesson. So let's look at the next one. It says the Bible's written. It's written down. It's for us to learn from, the solid foundation that we have, as well as the topic of writing, or the instruction to write something down. It is written or wrote is approximately 400 times in the Bible, as long as my research is correct. And so that's a good amount of starting, I believe, in the book of Exodus. It says to write this down. And then from there, we moved on. So 2 Thessalonians, if you'd want to turn there, all of the passages this morning are on the slides. I know that we have a lot of people who have multiple things in their hands at times. So I do have all my verses on the slide this morning. And then I also went from the New American Standard updated version, I believe, in all the cases. It says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. And my note here, I guess, for myself, just something that I've noticed about this verse, is Paul distinguished his writing. He took a effort to make it a specific way. So my questions this morning for you and for me, as I do my writing and you do your writing, do we take an extra moment to make sure our writing is something that represents us as Christians properly? Some people might think, well, we don't write as much as we used to. That may be the case, but for some people, that may be totally the case because written letters are not as common. But I will say, I may argue that a little bit because I write all day. I send emails all day, at least with my job, and I know many of you have similar jobs that people send text messages all day. People post on Facebook all day as sometimes part of their job. So sometimes we put writing in the form of an article or a letter, a formal document, but our writing is anything that we put down on a piece of paper. So if we may write more than we ever did before, just because it's easier to do. So look at the next one. It says Job chapter 19. It says during this time Job was kind of down. So the main things here with these two verses says, oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that with an iron stylus and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. Two things I liked about this is the modern pen that we write with digitally is called a stylus. I don't know if you buy a tablet or any type of two-in-one where, you know, some of you have iPads right now that you have your Bible on. They call that a stylus. I just, neat, something neat to quote Adam. They were engraved in the rock forever. Our written word has some more permanent consequences than what we say. So are we aware of what we're posting or what we're writing or what I'm texting or my professional documents at work? I will tell you, and I've shared this before, I have a lot of debating at work because we have a lot of problems that we have to solve, and it is challenging at times to not just want to say do your job and let's get going, but we have to maintain our professionalism. Is that, do we let our guard down with our brethren, or do we let our guard down with perhaps people outside of our workplace where we're not worried about, you know, perhaps with our families, our spouses, our children, for those that have older children that do that. So our written items. So if we have a written response, which I know is very common, debates in the past have been, from a religious standpoint, have been done by a written word. Preachers would debate back and forth in writing, or someone will send you a letter of an issue and then you respond. I mean, that's still done today. That's nothing that's out of the ordinary. But our written items give us time to respond. It gives us time to think and figure out the best way to word things. And so are we doing that? And then also, if we were to take all of our written words together that we've written and put them out on a piece of paper and roll it down the middle of this kind of building and read everything that we write down, would that be pleasing to God? And would that language come off as loving to one, our brother, and two other people, and you know, also to God as well? So just something to kind of think about in regards to our written communication. Are we polite when we do that? Are we asking for things rather than telling? Things about text is you can't tell tone with a text. You can't tell, and I'm going to talk about this in the next section, but you can't tell sometimes what the written word is fully meaning because you can't see body language and you can't see some of the mannerisms of things going on. So are we writing it in a way that is a loving way? So just some thoughts to think about this morning. Next one is our visual communications. Can tie into nonverbal, which we're going to talk with shortly. But our visual communications, it's a little bit of what Adam talked with a few weeks ago with our prayer hands. And some of the emojis and sketches and drawings. All of this I got off the internet pretty easily. They have meaning for what we have to do. There's ones out there that are not appropriate that you can get that are not ones you have to purchase. They're free right there. By the way, you have to be cautious of what you're doing. This is a growing and increasing common thing because we text so much. It's too hard to say, "God, thank you." You just hit a thumbs up. You know this. If you texted me, I probably gave you a thumbs up before. I see some nods because I like the thumbs up's easy. It communicates. This is still good, by the way. I'm pretty sure it's still appropriate. Stuff changes. Stuff that wasn't appropriate, you know, things that were appropriate 30 years ago may not be appropriate now. So just be aware of that. I use words as a kid that nowadays they change the meaning of that in our culture. So some things to think about. And talking some history of the church and some things that I've seen, you know, in the past we've used sermon handouts before in the past where someone would pass out. We have a whiteboard. I almost wrote the title on it, so you thought I might use the whiteboard. I don't even know when that was used last, but historically we've used a whiteboard or a chalkboard. For those of you my age or older, perhaps you've seen the blanket sermons where someone has a board and there's a blanket that comes over. It's basically a real life analog version of a PowerPoint is essentially what it is. That'd be cool. If I just whipped out one of those today, some of you would be smiling. But we don't do that anymore because it's not as easy. Overhead projectors. We still have two of those, by the way, if anyone needs one to use. We have them. And then today we use our PowerPoints. All of that is considered visual communication. And it's all something that we need to be aware of in how we communicate. And, of course, I put the logos and things on there because those have meanings as well. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So our visual communication, our hand gestures, our emojis and our memes. If you don't know what a meme is, it's basically like a little picture you can send in a text and it kind of communicates frowning. Or it's a scene from a movie, like in a little like 1 second clip. And I thought about putting one up here, but I didn't want to go outside of the moving picture thing that some people may not find good. So emojis, though, thumbs up. They have ones that mean a certain way or mean things, and the picture you would think means something, and that's not what it means. So we need to be aware of what we're posting and what we're using. If you use little acronyms, which are like LOL for laugh out loud, if you don't know what it means, don't use the acronym. Just a note there. James 1:21 says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." This may not be something that we're doing on purpose. This may be just an unknown thing that we're like, "I didn't know it meant that." Having family members who have gotten into technology more, there's a few times where we, you know, message someone and be like, "Hey, did you know that meant this?" And they're like, "No, I didn't know that." And they take it down because they didn't realize that meant that thing. Art and home decor. So is your home a place that other Christians can come in? And what I mean by that is our home is not a safe haven from being a Christian. And I use that. I've been in some homes in the past where I felt awkward, to be honest with you. It felt awkward. Because the things in the home visually were not particularly appropriate. And I understand it's your home. And so I'm not a person who's going to say, I mean, well, you could, I guess, if it's sinful. Let me correct myself. But there's a time and place. But if you're inviting someone into your home, what does your home say about whatever about your life as a Christian? That could be your art, your decor you have, your movies, the TV, your theater, those things you go to. You know, some of those are tough. I know I've went to some plays in that in the past, and that was not what I thought it was. And that wouldn't have been what we, you know, you either leave or, you know, however that is. That's a challenging thing at times. But in most cases, you could shut that off or leave. Clothing, our logos. This ties directly into, are we wearing outfits or clothing or a hat that has something on it that someone would question if we're a Christian or not on it? And I'm not going to tell you what that is. That's for your own judgment. But there's a lot of things that are out there that it's probably not the best idea for us to wear based on what it says, flat out what it says on the words, flat out what, or a logo or a euphemism. That's a big thing right now. Like, oh, it means, it's really three clean words that mean all nice things, but it really has the underlining meaning of something that's inappropriate. Sometimes those are, we don't know that. We don't know that. Sometimes, you know, we don't realize that's what that meant. I just like the shirt. I've heard that before. Fine, but something to think about when we wear things, perhaps know what we're wearing. And then our graphics, which we, you know, just being aware of our eyes. So, some more. Philippians 2, verses 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." And then 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, "Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor." So, adding to this a little bit, as far as the selfishness and regarding more is important than ours, what is what we do in our life and our priorities communicate? And what I mean by that from a visual standpoint. And I tied that a little bit in with our home and our decor and everything. But maybe our hobbies, our interests, that's on another section as well. But some of those things from a visual standpoint, you know, might have some implications of appearances of things that we need to be aware of. So just something to think about. And finally, I got ahead of myself. So great. Does our love for God, Christ, and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ show in all of things visual in our life? So just something leaving you there. Next one, listening. And I'm going fast through these because I want to get to the last two. So if you're thinking, well, he's really moving, don't worry, it's going to stop. Listening communications, and I'm going to tell you, I'm really good at this one. I am like the best listener ever. And once again, sarcasm for those of you who can't see in person. Our listening is part of communications. Some lists, if you Google some things and search communications, because there's, by the way, in case you didn't know, there's whole degree programs on communications. So this is not like a one lesson thing. If I was a more experienced person, I probably should have just picked one point and run with it. But I got overexcited and just started going. But the purpose of listening, let's go over some of these and maybe some things we didn't think of because I didn't think. Specifically focusing on the message being communicated, avoiding distractions and preconceptions. So you ever did that? Oh, so-and-so's coming. Here we go. And you shut off. I mean, you heard what they said, but because they've said that to you for the last 17 years, four times a year, you've shut off because you have these preconceptions. So next, gain a full, accurate understanding into the speaker's point of view. Do we do that? I don't always do that. Like I said, I want to solve a problem, so I maybe don't get a full and accurate. I get a partial. I get part of that, and then I start running. because I'm a man. I got to solve problems. That's what I do. I don't want, sometimes we just need to stop and listen. Next one, critically assess what's being said. Ties into the others. You might assess part of it. Maybe not critically in a detailed way. Observe non-verbal signals. Some of us are better at this than others. I will say I catch some things that other people don't catch. I don't know if I'm not saying I'm good at that. Please don't say that. But I have asked questions and people are like, where'd you get that from? And I'm like, you didn't see this. We all have some of that we're able to, based on where we grew up, maybe how we were raised, how we lived. We look at nonverbal signals differently. We're going to talk a little bit about that as we talk about nonverbal. But are we observing what the person talking to us is asking? Because they may be saying something and showing you nonverbally something else. I used to work at a children's hospital with children that had mental health conditions. They would say one thing, but they were meaning something else based on how they interacted with one another. So that we all have our different experiences and abilities with that. So the secondly, the purpose of listening is show interest, concern, and concentration, to encourage the speaker to be open and honest. Have you ever been talking to someone and you know full well they don't really care? Say your point so I can like get back to my sandwich. I mean, do we do that as Christians? You know, and you know, from twofold, are we a listener? And then sometimes,
I'll stop my point. Do we do that? Let's go there.
Next, to encourage the speaker, to develop a selflessness approach, putting the speaker first. Depending on your situation and where you're at, this might be challenging because you might have a lot of things going on. If you decide to catch one of the elders elders after church, they might have something else happening. So this might not be the best time to catch somebody if they've got other tasks or other things going on. So yes, listening would be part of that, but also as those of us trying to communicate, pick a good time that allows the person we're trying to communicate with the opportunity to do some of these listening skills. So, and we'll bring that up here shortly. And then to arrive at a shared and agreed understanding and the acceptance of both views. So ultimately, that's what we're trying to do. At the end of the day, I have this issue, you have this issue, we're trying to figure out how to solve the issue. Or, hey, this is what I think, this is what I think, we come together and we figure it out. And this is every relationship that we have. So my question is, do we actively listen? Or just we do the minimum? Or do we listen enough while we in our mind prepare for what I'm going to say? Like, will you just quit talking because I got a comment? Like, is that what's going on? I will say that. I do that. I already know 4 sentences into your 27-sentence conversation that I want to respond now. And you know, because I'm not disciplined enough to stop, shut off my priorities, shut off the things that are about me, and do that. So let's look at list. So last one on listening. James 1 and verse 19, it says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." It doesn't mean hear quickly. That means quick to hear, process it, slow to respond by speaking. And then in Proverbs 19 and verse 20, it says, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days." Do you ever just not listen to something you just don't want to hear? Even though that was what needed to be said? No matter who it comes from? You know, I learned a lot of lessons from people who are way younger than me that probably shouldn't be teaching, in theory, shouldn't be teaching me something. I should be teaching them, but they're the ones teaching me. Do we ever do this? We don't listen to our counsel and accept what they're saying because of who they are
or where our whatever preconceived things are that we have. So anyway, and then I got, well, one more, a couple more verses. Make Proverbs 2:2 says, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. And in Psalms, and I apologize, I'm going too fast for those of you turning. I'll take a moment. Psalms 34, verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So if God listened like we did, how much would he hear of what we need? Think about that for a minute. So if look at yourself. If God heard my prayers and my requests and my cries like I hear other people's, what answers would I get? So something to think about. Moving on outside of listening. Verbal communications. So we're going to slow down a little bit. So verbal communications are all forms of speech. Face-to-face, phone, handheld radio. Some of you might think that's, I've had a lot of conversations on radio, so that's why I put that one in there. Kind of appease the military crowd of the four of us that I think are in here. But there could be a lot of miscommunications on any one of those devices, so that's why I brought that up. So our verbal communication factors, tone. Some of us don't have a tone. You know, we're loud or we're quiet. That may be several reasons why that is, but our tone and how we say things, this affects marriages, I must say, quite a bit. Or for those of you who are parents, as children gets older, they say something, watch your tone. How often you said that for parents that have anyone over a three-year-old? I'm just guessing you all say that. I do, so I'm just going to make some assumptions here. Volume. Good or bad, whether you're getting worked up and I'm getting heated, or the other way, you're talking where I don't understand what you're saying and I can't hear you. It's two different ways. Speed and pace. This is cultural. Some areas of the country talk at a different pace than others. Since we live different places, we move around. Maybe we're getting excited and we talk faster. So maybe someone talks slower, and we don't like that awkward silence. Like, I'm not an awkward silence person. I need to fill it with words because, so if you're a slower talker, that might be something where people like me chime in and like, I'm like, sorry, I'm sorry. I got to time out, back myself up, and allow that person to finish the conversation. So I have a gentleman that I work with, and he's a very good man. He talks just at a slower pace. And sometimes you don't know if he's still continuing the statement that he had. So it is challenging, especially when you're on a digital platform trying to say it through computers and you can't see him still making the mannerisms and things that we have. So that could be a factor. Language differences. And we've talked about that a lot. Over the last several years with the differences. Vocabulary and phraseology. And for those of you, what I mean by that is, do we talk down to people? Or do we use a language that's so above them, it makes us have to explain, oh, well, let me explain that to you. Or do we talk to people at their level, whatever level that is, up or down, but not in a way that's disrespectful or rude. And then another one of that is I had a wouldn't say a boss, I'd say a peer years ago that was a PhD. He had a PhD, and he would walk in my office and say, hey, you got a 4-year degree, you can sign this, you can read it, you'll understand it. That's how he responded to people, because he had a PhD. I wouldn't consider that good communication. Needless to say, he didn't get along well with others. It has its result. But do we do that to people? Do we talk in a way that makes them maybe not want to talk to us? So another one is physiological, and I hope I spelled that right. Speech, hearing, other things. All of us have something medical going on. For the size of our group, God hears a lot of prayers about our medical. We have a lot going on. Some of us can't hear, can't see very well, can't process things due to whatever's going on in our brain. So there might be a reason we have to adjust how we communicate. And for some reason, that may change over time. You know, we may hear, I'll use hearing. Let's use hearing. I'm starting to lose my hearing. For those of you who didn't know, I'm an artillery person. So that means a lot of stuff has blown up around my, where now that I'm starting to hit a certain age, I'm starting to feel that coming in. My ears ring. Sometimes it rings so loud that, you know, it's very, very noticeable. Some of you might have that same problem. I have to figure out a way to not bring that frustration that my ears are ringing right now into the conversations that I'm having. So same thing with our other medical things that are going on. That's both for the person who has the medical issues, but also for the person bringing whatever communication to them. Are we going above and beyond to make sure we're communicating effectively? Maybe we are and maybe we aren't. So just something to think about with our physiological, our environmental aspects, noise or distractions. This ties into physiological. Maybe you got to go somewhere else so you can hear or talk, that kind of thing. Or if you're trying to have a conversation, let me use an example. After worship, there's a lot happening after worship. If you've noticed, there's not a huge walkway in any of the areas. So if you decide to have a personal conversation in the middle of everything, be aware that people can hear what you are talking about, even if you don't think you are talking that loud. So be aware of what is happening with your noise and the things that are around you. It also might be a distraction. I know for me, and I will just use me, due to some of my other things that I'm tasked with, afterwards, I'm looking at other stuff. Maybe I probably need to stop that and just spend a few moments and talk to you all more. But I'm going and looking at the bathroom or checking for toilet paper or making sure the thermostat turned on. Some of us have those duties that are assigned to us that we're trying to do. Or I'm running down a kid because I don't want them to knock you over. And we're dealing with that. So there's some factors there that allow us to change the way we communicate. And then, of course, our technical aspects being our equipment. You ever try to, I'll say this, being in another country and trying to call home from a little box where your phone is trying to conversate on, you know, a baby that's coming and you don't know when, and like 17 people are watching you, It affects your conversation. That's a lot of our conversations when I was in Jordan, is 17 people were listening to me talk to Rebecca about stuff. So they really weren't actively listening. But the point was, they were there. I don't know what they heard or didn't hear. But that's how we got used to it. That's just how it was. But our equipment, if things aren't working well, it affects our demeanor. We get mad at it. You know, then we don't communicate as well. It's really, but the person doesn't see that. All they see is, you're mad. Oh, you're mad at me. Well, no, my phone isn't working right. Oh, well, okay. Maybe learn to share some of that. So anyway, that's some factors in our verbal communication. And what do we do to do that, to work on that? So Titus chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there, I'll try to give you a moment. Titus 3, in verse 1, says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, and showing every consideration for all men. And my last part there, showing every consideration to all men, is the primary reason I picked this verse. And that goes for both sides of communication. If you're the one with the problem, trying to solve a problem, or, you know, explain it to something, or if you're on the receiving end, it goes both ways. And then in James chapter 3, verse 11, it says, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? So from our voice and from our mouth, what is it? Is it bringing? What's it bringing? It can't bring two things at the same time. So which one is it doing? So Colossians chapter 4. Starting in verse 5, it says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know you should respond to each person. Should have highlighted that last part, each person. No one is the same. So know your audience that you're talking with. And if you don't know, tread lightly so you know what not to say or to say. I've used the same sentence with two different people, and it was this two totally different results. Because I have sons and I have a daughter. Two different responses to the same sentence. I have three children, and all three respond differently. Those of smiling that have more children than me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The grandparents know exactly. There's something different. Everybody is different. I will tell you this. I could say stuff to Adam that I wouldn't dare say to someone else. Not because it's inappropriate, because me and Adam have a certain relationship. We have a similar background, and we think alike. But I may never say some of that to Brother Duke over there, because Duke is the same age as my father, and I look at him a little bit differently in a respectful manner. And I don't mean that rudely. We all have our own relationships with one another. So please be aware of how we should respond to each other. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And every time I hear this, I think of Mamaw Pence, because I taught years ago the Ecclesiastes class. And I don't think she was humming, but she was nodding, thinking of the song from the birds. And she actually commented that in the class. So every time it says a time, I didn't put the whole section in, just verse 7. It says a time to tear apart and a time, there's a season, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together and a time to be silent and a time to speak. Do you know when is which? I don't have an answer for you. That is up to every situation and every individual you're dealing with. But are you aware that that's something that you got to think about in our communication? There is a time that we need to be silent, and there's a time to speak. That was brought up in class this morning. There's a time for humility, but there's also a time when you speak up and you make a correction. So, yes, there are times that we need to speak and bring up something. And then there's a time when maybe we can be silent on that one and let that one go. Figure out the differences in our things. So some verbal communication bad habits. And be honest with you, these are a mixture of ones I made up and some actual collegiate studies that I found online. So just, but a few of them, most of them are some examples that I've seen throughout my experience in the church. So these are actual not work related. They're not family related. Most of these are my examples are from the brethren to deal with. Not telling people what you need. I've brought this up before. And as a deacon, the deacons and the men and the families, we deal with people and needs and requirements. But if you don't let us know, we're going to go on to the next person. And I don't mean that in a loving way. I don't mean that in a rude way at all. But if you don't let us know, we're going to move on to the ones we know about. The old adage, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, or they've got several of them. We cannot read your mind. And I say that mostly because I've seen in the past different places, people would be offended that someone didn't take care of their need. But no one knew about it. So how are you supposed to take care of something if you don't know it's there? So just a note there. So please be aware. And I don't mean just tell the deacons. I tell somebody. So we'll all help. It's not a deacon thing. It's not an elder thing. We're a family. That's our job. Coupling this, the next point is you're going to be like, well, that's contradictory. Telling people too much. This could be a problem too. So there's a fine line between sharing information, letting people know what's going on. Also, there could be attention seeking. I've been places where people just wanted attention. And then there's also the knowing what you're talking about and sharing too much. And what I mean by that is we could become gossips. We could become slandering. Not intending it to be that way, but it could be. And then for our parents, for the parents, sometimes we like to share what our kids are doing and go, you know, hey, this is what we're having an issue with this, we're having an issue with that. Depending on the age of your children and the challenges and stuff, some of that could be sharing too much because they're going to grow up soon. And then everyone's going to know the business of that person. So just be aware of what you're sharing and how much of that you're sharing. That could be outside of what's, you know, appropriate. Some of the things, criticizing. You know it's your own fault. If there's a problem, you ever hear someone say that? Eh, your fault. You knew better. That might be true. That doesn't mean they need to hear it right that moment. I mean, that's one of those, maybe keep it in the brain. You might have thought that. But that's not what you meant. And then insulting, judging, deflecting. Someone's like, well, I have this problem. Oh, that's nothing. I've seen that before. Well, I broke my arm. Well, in 1974, I broke both my legs. I fell down. And they make it about them. And there's a difference. And I'll say this. Sometimes we put ourselves in comparison to people in a friendly, like, kind of conversational way. I know I've done that before, and I walked away going, I wasn't trying to, you know, talk about me, but I ended up talking about me, and I didn't mean to do that. But there are people out there who they have to be the worst thing in the group. If they're either the best or the worst, whatever event's going on, they're going to make it about them. So deflecting. Superior smugness. You're young. You'll get over it. I've said that. Now that I'm a little bit older than I used to be, I've said that to some, you know, some of the younger people here. You'll be all right. You're young. And that's maybe okay, depending on your relationship with that young person or that younger person, but there is a attitude about that. Sarcasm, that's a beast right there for some people. Some people can't talk without sarcasm. Think about how that affects the people around you, mocking someone or can, you know, that kind of thing. So be aware. So the use of insults or slander, but in a joking manner. So this, you can tie this into self-deprecating humor, which I do a lot, to myself. Use of insults or slander. So you might say things like, well, he's like you, he's an eater. Well, depending on that person's weight or health issues or size, that might be an insult. Or depending on that person, that might be okay. It goes back to know your audience. Or the phrase, well, you know, people like us, and we lump each other in the same group, but what we're really doing is insulting ourselves, but also insulting that other person. And they might smile, but deep down, they probably didn't like it. So, just to be aware. And then the last one here is spiritual bullying. And the use of knowledge to show up others. And you'd be like, some people might be like, what, how, it happens. When I was a young person, I was around a lot of Christians in an academic setting. Let me say it that way. There's a lot of people wanting to show off how much they knew about the Bible. And in the process, making others feel bad about it, that they didn't know the same amount. So do we do that? Do we let our knowledge of the scriptures look bad, especially in a public setting? Do we sharpshoot less experienced teachers when you already know the answer? You could have just shared the answer you already knew. But do we ask them, what about this? Knowing full well they probably don't know, but in an effort to challenge them in some way. I've seen, you know, some things. Or do we search out our faults in people to make sure we tell them about it. What I mean by that is, I've been places where you can always count on a few people to walk up and tell you what you did wrong. Well, your prayer, for the men that are publicly, you know, well, your prayer, this way, your talk, well, this way, hey, your class comment, I liked it, but, you know, don't get me wrong, there's a time for feedback. But are you the person that's constantly the one doing it? You maybe not even know you're doing it. That may not be something that you're aware of. But I will say, and I thought about this point, and Rebecca thought it was funny because I'm the one talking. If you're in the line to get out the building talking to the person who did the lesson, that's probably not the time to give them all your critical points of how they can improve on it, because there's people behind them. Hearing everything you're talking about. Now, I'm not saying don't make corrections and do that, but there's a time and place for everything we need to do. So something to think about. Do we spiritual bully people in a way using our knowledge of the scriptures? And I've lost track of how long I've went, so if I've went too long, I apologize. I have both an apology and a Paul went all night, so we've got some time, but I'll be nice about it because I'm talking about communications. Nonverbal. Here's some more. So nonverbal communicates facial expressions, posture, eye contact, hand, anything. Anything is nonverbal communication. What I'm wearing, what my shoes are, my haircut, anything and everything. In my opinion, hope you saw it, opinion. This is probably the most overlooked by Christians in everything we do. Because it's just such a broad scope. And it's informational. And what I mean by that is, here's some nonverbal examples. I'll go through those pretty quickly. Adam and Eve hiding and covering out of fear. They showed nonverbal. They communicated that way. The coat of many colors was given. Nonverbal communication of favoritism. Potiphar gave Joseph responsibility. He communed trust. The Good Samaritan communicated all types of things, good and bad. A lot of things happened in there. Miracles of Jesus, those were nonverbal, a lot of them. It just happened in community. And then the death of Jesus. Words didn't have to be said for us to know what that communicated for us. So just some examples of some nonverbal. And I could have did, I wish I just did the whole lesson on nonverbal, because there's so much to it. But here's some, and I'm not going to go through all of these, so... be aware, but the appearance, our presence, our absence, our seating, what we laugh at, how we listen, what we try to avoid. You ever see someone come and be like, oh, I can't, I didn't want to talk to them. There's work list. Well, if I don't look at the work list, I can't say I didn't notice that, by the way, there's 2 months that still need the building cleaning. But if I don't look at the work list, I won't know it. So I'm good. That's what we do in our mind. Are we willing to change our personal traditions? I have watched fights start about where someone sits in a building. That's just an easy example, that a visitor came and sat in the pew. I watched a Christian say, excuse me, sir, you're in my seat, and move the visitor. I can't remember if the visitor stayed in the building or not, to be honest with you. In my mind, I think they left, but I can't recall, so I don't want to say that incorrectly. But I've seen that. Are we willing to sacrifice our traditions and some of our things that we're comfortable with in order to communicate love to someone else? Our businesses and eateries, that's its own loaded thing, because that's changed over the years of what's in a place to eat and what isn't with all the different establishments we have out there. I think we could put a line that certain ones we'd probably all agree, yeah, that's not appropriate. But then there's some others. Is that a good one or not? And without going too much longer, that's something to think about. Use of our time. And I want to take a moment on that one. How many times you say, that's my family time? Well, what are we? What are we? If you say, that's my family time, or I don't have time for that when it's something related to the brethren, but we all know fully you're doing something that's social or some other thing, but your phrase is, I don't have time for that. Or why don't you just use the phrase, I don't really want to make time for that, but I, you know, it's we all have the same amount of time. Number nine, use of our finances. I don't have the money for that. And that may be a true statement. And that's that, but there's the time when sometimes you really do, but that's the go-to statement that we say. And then willingness to help others, willingness to allow help. So willingness to help others. There's a lot of ways to do that, and we've talked about that. But a willingness to allow help. Some of us just don't want to ask for help. Some of us don't want to be, some of us want to wait, we'll ask for help when we really, really need it. And by then, the people helping you have to work harder. So if you just ask for help maybe a week or two earlier, we could have got this done, and then it's not snowballed into a problem. I'm in that category. I don't want to call someone for something I can do. I got that. Might take me 2 weeks longer. That person could do it in 12 minutes. But, you know. And then actions before, during, or after worship. And if you're a person that needs to show up early and sit in the pew in a spot and mentally focus, that's great. If that's what you got to do to prepare for the service, and that's how you clear everything, that by all means is the appropriate way to do things. But at some point, in after or before or in the middle, you make yourself available for your brother, to ask a question. But if we all just came in, sat in our spot, never got up, and then when amen was said, we were out the door in less than 4 minutes. What kind of congregation would we be? So think about that for a minute. And I'm not trying. If we all did that, what would happen? So if that's something you truly got to do, I'm not saying don't do it. But please be aware. Maybe we can. Maybe something can be adjusted to make yourself available for the other members that we have. And then I'm going to add one real quick. And it's not on the slide, but COVID response. And I'll just say two sentences. Were others first during our response to COVID, our individual response, or were ourselves first? I'm going to leave it at that. That's kind of the unsung, don't talk about it type of thing. And so I'll just leave it at that. How was your response? Was it about others or was it about you? So, whether you're trying to communicate or not, nonverbal, it's happening. Whether you mean to, you can't control. I cannot control other people's attitudes, thoughts, motive, or reactions. I cannot do it. So if I show up and someone's mad at me because I'm wearing whatever team that they don't like shirt, and they're mad about it, I can't control that unless the shirt's inappropriate and I can deal with that. So there are things that we just, sometimes you're going to have to get over that. It's just frankly how that is. But we should do our best to attempt to communicate in the most loving way possible. So there's always going to be differences. There's going to be things that we need to work out. But Matthew 7 and verse 12, Galatians 5:14, do you love your neighbor as yourself? So do you treat everyone as good as you treat yourself? I'm going to say I don't always do that because I get lazy, I get tired. I like sleep. I'm a nap person. I've been going to church twice my whole life. Sunday afternoon naps got to be a normal. So I like them. I like them. Got used to it. But how we communicate with people. Talked about humility a little bit in an adult class today. How are we communicating our love for one another? So, challenge this week. We talked about a whole lot of things. I'm sure I went real long. I don't know what time I started, so I apologize. Pick one thing that we talked about and try to improve on it. And if you're like, Kevin, I don't know what to do, ask your spouse. They'll tell you. And if they don't tell you, ask your mom or your dad or your siblings. One of them will tell you. And then the last one, we didn't really talk about all the plan of salvation, but it's hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But we did talk about this last one, live faithfully a little bit. Part of our faithfully living is how we treat our brethren and how we communicate. So if there's something that you need today, whether the prayers of the congregation, we always want to invite the opportunity for you to come forward. That's not a requirement to come forward. You can still confess everything with someone else at another time. This bench up here is scary sometimes because it's, you know, in front of people and all that. So that's just, that's not a requirement if you're not aware of that. But it is available if you'd like to do that, to either, one, be baptized, or two, ask for the prayers. If there's something that we can do for you tonight, or for this morning, please come forward as we stand and we sing.